Good morning, everyone, and welcome again to our Sunday morning message time from Chesley Community Church. Last week, we began a series that I had entitled The Pursuit of the Holy Spirit. We're going to return to that series today, and before we do, let's just open with a few words of prayer. Lord, once again, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your your word, which is so readily available to us. We have Bibles in many, many different formats. We have supporting commentaries, books to no end. Thank you for your word that's so readily available. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that ministers to us, empowers us, and ministers through us. So we pray, Lord, as we go into this part two of our study today, that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our lives, that you would make your word come alive, that you'd connect with our spirits, Lord. Have us hear what you would have us to hear. Lord, I pray for those who may not be feeling well, who may be going through difficult times, that are listening in this morning. I pray that your presence would surround them in a very tangible way. Touch those that need a touch of healing. Minister to those that are having emotional struggles. Walk the difficult paths with them, we ask. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we began the series on the Holy Spirit, and we looked at the reasons for such a study and who the scriptures reveal the Holy Spirit to be. And so we saw from that study that the Holy Spirit is a person and is also God. He's the third person of the Trinity, or as we sometimes say, the third person of the triune God. We touched briefly on the roles of the Holy Spirit, and today we want to explore that issue more deeply, and in particular, the roles and ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. As I mentioned briefly last week, in conjunction with the eternal nature of the Spirit, the first reference to the Holy Spirit is found in the second verse in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 reads this way. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And so we see here that the Holy Spirit was present and actively involved in the creation process. If we were to turn to the New Testament and the Gospel of John, the first letter of John. John opens that first letter of his with these words about Jesus. I'm sorry, it was the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so we see from these verses that the Holy Spirit and Jesus, along with God the Father, were all acting as creative agents in the creation of our world and our universe. This is a very significant verse, for it confirms the eternal nature of Jesus and the eternal nature of the Holy Spirit, as well as affirming their creative powers. Now we also see throughout the entire Old Testament period, the Holy Spirit was inspiring the prophets as they spoke on behalf of God, inspiring his words of teaching, his words of the law, inspiring the predictive words which we call prophecy, and so on. The Holy Spirit, as we saw last week, was also involved in ensuring that the words that he inspired also became the inspired written words. Written words that were recorded initially on scrolls and then eventually became the books of our Bible. That's an important role of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Now, as we move ahead and as the book of Genesis winds down, we see another amazing role of the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons that this one is so amazing is that this acknowledgement of the Holy Spirit's role actually comes from the Pharaoh of Egypt. So let's look at Genesis chapter 41, verses 37 to 39. That's Genesis 41, 37 to 39, and I'm reading from the NLT. But before we look at those verses, we need to set the context. Joseph has just finished explaining Pharaoh's dream, and he's provided him with some recommendations as to how to prepare for the famine that's about to arrive. And so now as we go to these verses, we can kind of pick up that story. We read there, Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. Now I think it's important to note here that the various ways the role and ministry of the Holy Spirit are revealed in the Old Testament are somewhat prophetic in that they point to a coming New Testament age when the Spirit would come in new fullness and new power. And so I want you to note just a couple of aspects from Pharaoh's phrase. That phrase where he said, obviously filled with the Spirit of God. First, when we shift our study to the New Testament, we will see there that in several cases where people were said to be filled with the Holy Spirit, there was some obvious things that were happening. So in the New Testament, we see those words, people filled with the Spirit. And you know what, there's an obvious difference between your car being close to a gas station and perhaps even so close that you can smell the fumes and your car being filled with gas. Being filled with the Spirit is different than knowing about the Spirit. Secondly, Pharaoh says that it was obvious that Joseph was filled with the Holy Spirit. So when our study shifts to the New Testament, we will see there that there are several cases in Acts where it was obvious to those around that people had indeed been filled with the Spirit. Now, in this particular case that we're reading about, it is obvious to Pharaoh that Joseph has been filled with the Spirit and that that filling resulted in him being given supernatural knowledge relative to the situation at hand. And again, when we think about it, it points forward prophetically to a time when Paul would point out that one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit given in the New Testament age is the gift of knowledge, sometimes referred to as a word of knowledge. Now, at this point in our study, we leave behind Genesis and return to a reference in Exodus about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps it's worth noting here that the Old Testament covers many centuries. And the reference to the Holy Spirit and his work, while there are quite a few, do not really appear to be all that frequent considering the number of years that pass. There well could have been more, and perhaps God just chose not to record them. But it would seem that the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is not as prevalent as what we will see in the New. But now let's go to Exodus chapter 28, verse 1. That's Exodus 28:1. Last week we mentioned that the first temple was actually the tabernacle in the wilderness, sometimes called the tent of meeting. In the preceding chapters, God has been directing Moses concerning the construction of the tabernacle and the things that would go inside it. These are the construction plans. And Connie and I built our cottage that we're standing here this morning in. We first ordered a set of plans that in great detail laid out how the building was to be built. And that was the easy part. Once the plans are in place, which essentially is the what, the next key part is the selection of the who. And in the previous chapters, the what has been described in great detail to Moses. And now in chapter 28, God helps Moses to define the who. So then let's look at chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. We read there, this is instructions to Moses. Now call your brother Aaron and his sons Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Set them apart from the rest of the people of Israel so they may minister to me and be my priests. Make sacred garments for Aaron that are glorious and beautiful. Instruct all the skilled craftsmen whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom. Have them make garments for Aaron that will distinguish him as a priest set apart for my service, filled with the spirit of wisdom. A couple of points here. The establishment of the priesthood took precedence over the construction of the building. This point is not particularly relevant to our Holy Spirit study, but it's always important to remember that our ministry must always take precedence over bricks and mortar and buildings. What I do want you to notice carefully, which is relevant to our Holy Spirit study, is that God directs Moses to select craftsmen who are not only skilled, but whom have been filled with the spirit of wisdom. A couple of points to note here. First, it was God who filled them with the spirit of wisdom. The filling of an individual with the Holy Spirit is always a God thing. It's a supernatural thing. It is not something we can bring on ourselves. And once again, we'll explore this more thoroughly when we get to the New Testament. Secondly, the spirit of wisdom points to a New Testament time when Paul would identify supernatural wisdom as the first of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, if you want to check that out. Thirdly, there's an important principle here. God is always looking for spirit-filled people, people who have been filled, given the spirit of wisdom and other spiritual gifts when it comes time to select people to serve him. For our second example, we go to Exodus chapter 36, verses 1. Exodus 36, verse 1. Now, time has moved ahead a little bit. The tabernacle project has now shifted to where the physical construction of the temple, of the tabernacle and its contents is about to begin. So we read there, then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all of the manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. So once again, we see that these men had received special wisdom from the Lord and were handpicked for the construction job. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit then is to give people special knowledge and special skills to do what some might consider ordinary construction jobs. For our next example, we move ahead in history to Numbers chapter 27. Moses in this case has been told that he's about to die and he will not be allowed to enter the Promised Land. And we pick up the story in Numbers chapter 27, beginning to read in verse 15. That's Numbers 27, 15. The Lord said to Moses, then Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, you are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Please appoint a new man as leader for the community. Give them someone who will guide them wherever they go, and will lead them into battle, so the community of the Lord will not be like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord replied, take Joshua, son of Nun, who has the Spirit in him, and lay your hands on him. So God here is, again, handpicking somebody for leadership, and he is choosing someone who is filled with the Spirit. And then we then go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 34. Now we're at a key moment in the life of the nation. Now Moses has died, and as we saw, God has chosen Joshua as his successor. The time has now come to install the new leader as the head of the nation. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, to see how the scriptures describe Joshua. We read there, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So here we have another case where an individual has been given a supernatural gift, specifically a supernatural gift of wisdom. It's also interesting to note that the gift has been given through the laying on of hands, another prophetic pointing to the New Testament age when the Holy Spirit would be received in several cases through the laying on of hands. So God is always looking for people to serve Him who are filled with the Spirit, in many cases, the Spirit of wisdom. Acts chapter 6 verse 3 provides insight into this principle. This is what we read when the apostles were considering selecting people to serve on the first board in the church age. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. And now for our next thought in our continuing study on the pursuit of the Spirit, we go back to Numbers chapter 11, beginning at verse 16. Moses has been complaining to the Lord about his workload, with the thousands and thousands who are trekking through the wilderness in a seemingly never-ending journey. One can imagine there would be lots of complaints. So let's look at how the Lord addresses this problem. We read there, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Gather before me 70 men who are recognized as elders and leaders of Israel. Bring them to the tabernacle to stand there with you. I will come down and talk to you there. I will take some of the Spirit that is upon you, and I will put the Spirit upon them also. They will bear the burden of the people along with you, so you will not have to carry it alone.'" And so God is coming alongside of Moses to help him, and he's appointing a new leadership team. But again, please notice, the requirement for this leadership is that the people would be Spirit-filled. I want you to notice carefully, the wording in that text does not suggest that the Lord is taking a portion of the Spirit that is within Moses and dividing it up among the new leaders. The Holy Spirit is more than capable of ministering to as many as the Lord should call. In this text, the Lord is promising to anoint new leaders with the same Holy Spirit that anointed Moses. To find out how this story ends, we go to Numbers chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 23. That's Numbers 11, verse 23. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Has my arm lost its power? Now you will see whether or not my word comes true.' So Moses went out and reported the Lord's words to the people. He gathered the 70 elders and stationed them around the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. And then he gave the 70 elders the same Spirit that was upon Moses. And when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied." So once again, we see God choosing leaders that would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we see once again that this is a God thing. It is God that filled them with the Holy Spirit. A couple of other things worth processing here. First, the challenging question that the Lord posed to Moses. "Moses, do you think I've lost my power?" It's a question that we should ask ourselves as well. Do we think that God has lost his power? If we look at the church in general in this 21st century, we might well think that the church has lost its power. I think the majority of the world around us would think that the church indeed has lost its power. Perhaps it leads to another question. Is our power loss due to the fact that we have not been in pursuit of the Holy Spirit? Not actively seeking and welcoming Him into our personal lives and into our churches? It's a great question. I'm thankful that God has not lost His power. God never changes. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I'm thankful that the God that we serve is the same God who came down in the cloud and poured the same Spirit that was in Moses into these 70 new leaders. I'm thankful that God will continue to pour His Spirit into believers today. Believers who are desperately pursuing more of the Spirit in their lives so that they can serve Him even more effectively. And lastly for today, I want you to note the word when it says that the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied. Once again, this infilling of the Spirit was obvious to those who were around. Something amazing had happened. When we look at this word prophesied, we tend to think of the words of the prophets of old, words of correction at times, words of admonition, words that God inspired them to say. Sometimes they were predictive words, words that were predicting future events. And in many cases, that is what the text means when we see the word prophesy or prophesy. But the Hebrew word actually has a much broader meaning. It means operating under the influence of divine spirit. So in this case, these new leaders may be operating under the influence of the Holy Spirit that they just received to speak those words of correction and admonition. And we certainly see an example in the case in Acts where Peter preaches his first sermon following the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost. Certainly prophetic words from Peter in that case. But you know, it may also mean that these new leaders with this filling of the Holy Spirit would just go about all of their new leadership duties under the influence of the Spirit. You know, when we hear the words under the influence in our day-to-day language, we tend to immediately think about driving while intoxicated. But shouldn't we rather be thinking about pursuing the Holy Spirit with renewed intensity, so that as our entire lives are lived out, they are in fact being lived under the influence and direction and power and anointing of the Holy Spirit? After all, the Word of God does say, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, that brings us to the end of Section 2 of our series on pursuing the Holy Spirit. I trust that you're enjoying it. And next week, Lord willing, we'll bring you part number 3 of that series. Let's close in prayer. Lord, once again, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you have promised the Spirit to those who would be believers. We thank you, Lord, that your Spirit can come and can fill us, can empower us, can anoint us, can influence us in our day-to-day lives as to how to live, how to act in a way that may be pleasing to you. I pray that your Spirit would take these words that we've shared today, plant them in people's hearts and in people's minds, connect with their spirit, make them come alive. Help us to not just talk about it, but to live it, Lord. We bless your holy name. Amen. Well, thank you once again, and we'll talk to you again next week. God bless.